Blog Talk Radio.
Father, just in Jesus' name, we thank you for your day you have made. God, help us to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the word which is about to come forth, God. We thank you for supernatural spiritual growth on tonight. Thank you for encouragement and edification. Thank you for empowerment that only you can give in the name of Jesus. Now move in this sanctuary, not by fire, not by my work, not by fire, not by might, not by power, but by spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen before God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that you came in here, that we are here safely. Thank you, God, that delay is not denied. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. No incident, no accident. Those watching, those here, God, give them a word in season, out of season, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every life that has pressed. And we praise you in advance for your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's amazing how you rush in the natural. You try to slow down. Amen. In the spiritual. And it doesn't work that way. So I got my sinner now. Amen. We got our sinner in the name of Jesus. And we thank God for the word. Amen. Let's start off by going to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and I'll share with the Lord's faith in my spirit on tonight. Mark, chapter 9, to God be the glory. Mark, chapter 9, verse number 19. Hallelujah. Mark 9:19. To God be the glory. Tonight we're simply talking from this topic, from this subject. God will fight for us. God will fight for us. Amen. Try saying that. Say that out loud. Say, God will fight for me. Amen. And we're going to, hopefully, if I can get through it, we're going to look at a father who's fighting for his son. We're going to look at an army who is fighting for the things of God. And finally, amen, we're going to look at a personal battle of someone that got the victory. Amen. That's my intent tonight, but we'll see what God do. Amen. To God be the glory. But I want to simply say through the word of God and share some thoughts on God fighting for us through the word. Amen. Mark 9:19 says this. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer for you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway his spirit tore him. And he fell upon the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, since he was a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, say believe before God, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse number 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep reading because that's something to keep reading. Verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together to me, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and into him no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and it came out of him, And he was as one dead, insomuch that he said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, he lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this time come forth only by prayer and fasting. Say amen, people of God.
Amen.
Again, we're talking from the topic of God fighting for us. And we see through the text which I just read, a father who is fighting for his son. I say the father is fighting for his son because if you read the early part of the text that we just read, first and foremost, his boy sends Jesus' disciples to cast his evil spirit out of his son. And if I go on to tell the story, there's a dispute that rose up. And his father was arguing with the disciples about why could they not cast his devil out. And Jesus is coming from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And as he gets there, he asks what the commotion is all about. And his father exclaimed, I promised your disciples to cast out this dumb and evil spirit out of my son, but they could not. And this is the part which I want to really get to, how God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit begin to fight for you and I. Number one, he calls them faithless. He calls them faithless. And for us to get the victory, for us to do our part in God, finishing off the battle that we may face, we got to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to be a people of great faith and people that believe in the supernatural power of God, because God will honor those who honor him in faith. The word says he is faithful to those who are faithful. And I believe that this man is about to get his deliverance. His son is about to get his deliverance because he said, simply put, I do have faith. But sometimes I'm challenged. Oh my God. See, it's okay to die as long as we don't stay and die.
Amen.
It's okay even sometimes to walk in fear or to walk in unbelief. But don't cry, ladies, don't live there.
Come on.
Because we as people, we as humans, we as human vessels, sometimes we have to fall short of being that of great faith. Of even strong faith. Because there were times, even when my body was littered with sickness, I was so weak and my faith got weak. Come on, somebody. I said physically I was weak, and thereby my spiritual faith got weak. But y'all prayed for me.
Amen.
My wife prayed for me. And because of that, my natural and my spiritual faith started to rise up. And now God, who fought for me all along,
amen,
still allowed me to rise up and hold on into the bargain. And that's what this father was saying. I believe, or don't get put down, I mean, your disciples. I believe because it's through my son the Father, it's through him in a flood, and time and time again, I read through my word, it's been on him since he was a child. I prayed, I believed, I went to God, I came, and he's saying right there, now I'm going to the source. Now I'm going to the one that has made a difference. And as you came tonight, this is your idea of coming to Jesus. This is your way of coming to him, because I said it through Hebrews, when we come to him, we must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that seek him. So number one, first thing we see is that this father is fighting your faith, because he brought the voice to his disciples, now he's bringing the voice to Jesus, and he's saying, I believe, but help my unbelief. You'll be amazed at how many people need help and don't ask for help.
That's good. Yeah.
We will be shocked sometimes when people get in a predicament. And this is one thing that even as a pastor and as a man of God seen in my brother Christian walk, I was taught a lot about repentance. I was taught a lot about not being condemned or not feeling guilty or not being ashamed about what you came from. I was taught a lot from Bishop Hillman and the ministers in that church about allowing myself to deal with sexuality, don't let me deny you. But once you do that, let the Holy Spirit do its work. Amen. Keep your place. Keep your place in mind. Don't make any more points from mind. But go to John chapter number 16, verse number 7. I talked on Sunday about Jesus needs the Holy Spirit before he could perform certain miracles. I talked from the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, how the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth up, even as Mary entered her house. We talk about John the Baptist being born full of the Holy Spirit. These are functions and operations of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you two main reasons why the Holy Spirit is in our lives. We're going to get back to the story of the demonic boy in a minute, but I want to point this out when we're dealing with the area of believing. Because he said all things are possible if you believe. Did he not say that?
Yes.
So when God fights for us, if our belief system is right, we're going to get the victory every time. John 16, look at verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, meaning the Holy Spirit, to you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, watch this before God, verse number 9 is my focus. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit's job is not only to convict us of sin, because it will convict us. Amen. It will convict us of sin. But one of the things that it mainly does in our lives is get us to believe in Jesus. Getting us to believe in Jesus. And he said, of sin, because they believe not on me. When we're struggling in this area of sin, it has a lot to do with unbelief. Because if I believe, I can get delivered, stay delivered, beat sin, defeat sin. Guess what? The victory is already won. And when God is fighting for me, he knows my weaknesses. God knows your weaknesses. He knows your vulnerabilities. He knows your strongholds. He knows the things that hang us up and trip us up. So when God says the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, the Holy Spirit will help you believe on me, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring to our remembrance. Amen.
Amen.
Bring to our remembrance the things that we sometimes forget. It says, keep reading verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. Go back to Mark, and I'm going to make some points here from John, but I'm going to tie it together. Back to Mark chapter number 9. He says, all things are possible for them that believe. The Father said, help my unbelief. He told the disciples, this kind of thing that only comes out through prayer and through fasting. So when we have faith, when we believe, when we pray, and God is fighting for us, we get the victory each and every time.
Amen. Amen.
We get the victory each and every time. The Holy Spirit, when I was in Greek, not the Holy Spirit, I was talking to and I shared the story of life. As a new believer, I was in a place that I should have no longer been in, but the voice of the Spirit spoke to me and said, get out of here and come back no more. Guess what, church? I had two choices. I could stay where I was, or I could listen to the voice like I did and get up out of here. So as I listened to the voice, I became more familiar, even though sometimes it's a whisper, I became more familiar with the voice of God because I had the opportunity to rebel in that moment. You and I always will have an opportunity to disobey the voice of God. But I pray, your spirit in the Lord, that you will always listen to the voice of God. Because as his father said, help my unbelief, he was believing that his son could get delivered from his deed. He was believing that the impossible could happen, even though it's been around since he was a child. He was believing that his son can really be delivered. But he knew unbelief was stopping him. And this is one of the things that trip us Christians up, is because our will is not lined up with the will of God. Because we shouldn't have to tell the truth to shame the devil. Sometimes we ought to realize and confess and admit we're not of the will of God. Amen. We want to fight for us. We know he's fighting for us. We know we have the victory with him. But instead, do your part. I've given you grace. I've given you a capacity. I've given you a certain level of faith that I need you to operate in. And God is saying, when we do that, we get the victory. Because I'm telling you, when the Father said, help my unbelief, and that's what Jesus did. Because he still had to preach for the devil to come out. And as he agreed, the disciples agreed, this demon came out. But even after the devil came out, this is how the devil works. Even after you're on the other side of it, he's going to look like you. He's going to make you think you're still in it. I said, you're not the priest, please. But his job is to convince you and I that we're still stuck. We're still immoral. We're still got sin, and sin has a power over us. But today the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Who is the son that says free is free indeed? Who is the son that says free is free indeed? And we know the spirit of unbelief. It says in Hebrews, they did not read the word with faith, and they could not rest because of unbelief. We read the word with faith. That's what we came to church in that.
Yes.
So when we look at impossible, I'm believing God.
When we look at impossible, when I know man can do it, I know in my own strength, like this prophet, I try to solve it in my own strength, in my own intellect. We try to resolve it with our own mind, and it did not happen. But as soon as we came to Jesus, things began to turn around. Things began to happen. This man went home happy. This man went home with a delivered child. What we need of God. This man got the victory. He got the breakthrough. He got the breakthrough. He got everything he needed from Jesus. Because guess what? He got to believe.
Amen. Amen.
I believe instantaneously God called his unbelief. Because he said, I see you fighting for yourself. That's why you come to the disciples. That's why you came to Jesus. Because that's a pattern of fighting. Any pattern of fighting for their children is one thing to get them naturally. It's a whole other thing to fight in the spirit for them. It's a whole other thing to say, oh my child, I see them out the will of God. I'm going on my prayer closet. I'm going on my knees. I'm believing God by faith that he's going to touch them in the spirit. Go to our chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. With unbelief, we live in God.
When we don't believe, that's why we got to come to church, faith, come back every year to do the word of God. The more you get the word, the more you get the preaching, the more you get prophecy, the more you read scripture, the more you get the word of God in your agent and in your spirit. It's called feeding your spirit. You get strong. It's like vitamins. It's like supplements. It's like nutrients. And things you get to have. Glory be to God. So now you pray and you believe. See, you know, sometimes people operate in areas they're not called to operate in. And in the pastorate, I'm not called to do this because it's a grace on me to do this. And this is time the pastor and I have gone to hospitals, have gone to certain situations. And he came into the atmosphere. It looked dim, it looked dark, it looked desperate. But we come in believing. It's one thing to come in with doubt. And you can fool for hope. And the Lord knows for you that you're walking in doubt and unbelief. And second guess to yourself. But when you come in with hope, you God. When you come in with confidence, when you come in knowing that God is the best gift you have Christ for you. When you come in and know that you do your part, he's going to finish it up and do the rest. When you come in and you know that what you can handle, God got your back. When you come with that mindset, you're walking out with victory.
Amen.
You're walking out with the win. You're walking out more than confident. Because, let me talk about it. Mark chapter number 6, Mark chapter number 6, Mark chapter number 6, verse number 1. And he went out from there, and he came to his own. Say he came to his own. He came to his people. This is his child. This is his city, his neighborhood. He came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And Lord Mary was astonished. Say, from whence has this man been saved? And what wisdom is this which he is given unto him? That even such mighty works, and witnessing the words, even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. People got their seen miracles. They're seeing things they've never seen before. They are eyewitnesses to think that God is God alone can do it. Let's keep reading. Verse number 3. But watch how easily we can get out of faith. Watch how easily we become calm. Watch how easily it is in our human condition to fall back on our former knowledge and our former way of thinking. Verse number 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose and Judah and Simon? And all of his sisters here with us, and they were offended at him. See, you can only receive from somebody you respect. That's like a child telling a parent what's right and what's wrong. Amen. See, for us, I've listened to everything mom and daddy said. Am I the only one who is somewhat of a rebellious child? Just a little rebellious in all of us? It's called the animation. Amen. And it says, even with miracles, even with supernatural miracles, even with things happening that only God can do, they reduce them back down to earthly carpenter, a regular man, who we know his family. So he can't be that great and wonderful. Verse number 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He was amazed that God gave him an opportunity. When John came and said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, he was simply saying, there's a dispensation. He's poured out his spirit upon all flesh. There's an open heaven that you are living under. You have an opportunity of a lifetime. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you repent and say forgiveness of your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, heaven is your home. And it says, even with the spirit of repentance, so he did not repent and was not baptized. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief because he said, I can only heal a few folk because those few folk are the ones that believe in me. Obviously, it was not everybody operating in unbelief. The folk that he laid his hands on, and if not me, come on, I'm not going to crowd no more. I'm not going to let the whole world no more. I need God to trust me. You need God to trust you. It doesn't matter what our culture is doing. It does not matter what the mainstream is saying. It was just a beautiful. He laid his hand and they got healed. The whole village was got healed. The entire city, the entire country had access to this miracle work. And only a few operated in the spirit of believing. I need to see this because when I said, I left that place. I had no idea about the scripture that I'm about to read. Before I share that, though, let's go through the scripture. Let's go through the scripture. Let's go through the scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This scripture has been misinterpreted. And I pray that you get the understanding tonight on what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was corrupt. They had money, but there was a lot of immorality going on in the church at Corinth. And he's writing this epistle, this letter to the church. It's a letter of correction. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 says this. And I had, again, when the Spirit told me to leave that place, I had no idea what it was saying and why it was saying it. But now being in this thing for 24 years, I see, glory be to God, what he was doing and why he was doing. Because we need to understand that God has our best interests at heart. And if God be for you, there's nothing in this world that can come and destroy you. There's nothing that can defeat you. There's nothing that can beat you if God is for you. That's why I'm talking tonight. God will fight for you. We have three enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. And sometimes our flesh is our biggest enemy. We're going to see a little later. I told you I'm going to talk about that. Sometimes the world is a big enemy. We got to live in this world. Amen, somebody. And that's why I'm sitting up on the read, and it's showing how to navigate through this world in which we got to live. Come on. And the devil, God limits him. God restrains him. God controls the devil from doing certain things to you and I. That's the thing he's fighting for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelief. Oh, I'm going to keep reading, but right there. Which one of our meetings tonight? There's no way we can continue to hang around unbelievers all the time and thinking our belief is going to be strong. You're hanging around unbelievers who are not feeding your believing, and your belief is not being built, it's being torn down. So he's saying, not that we're better, not that we got any meaning with it, but for your personal spiritual growth, for your gain, sometimes I think these hard decisions. Amen? We can't be yoked up with the wrong people. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship does righteousness have with unbelievers? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what concord Christ and Bell as the devil? And what part has believers with an infidel? That's another word for unbeliever. And what agreement, powerful word, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separated, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God grant you, right? And I will be your father unto you, and you shall be my son and my daughter, saith the Lord. When I was in that car, and the church said, get out. All of my friends was in there. Come on, somebody. All of my former people that I used to grow up with were there. It was a familiar atmosphere. But the voice of the supernatural God said, get out. You no longer belong here. And I sat there, and I got out of there. I got out of here. Glory to God. And I kept myself, and I'm trying to keep myself separated from unbelievers. Now I don't go with the wrong people because I want God to do great things in my life. And I'm going to tell you that I cannot be on my own. So I need God to pray for me. I need to please my God. I need to be in the will of all my God. So when he said, come out of the room, I got to do my part. And he said, I'll see y'all later.
Jesus, his name was Emmanuel, his name was Father, God, you have to be happy.
right, I need a right to believe. Because the brother was pulling on me, and stuff was pulling on me. Yeah, I don't know if the brother was still going to pull me in a certain direction, but I had somebody fighting for me. So God will love for you, church.
Thank you.
Then what we have to stop saying, even saying the wrong words at the wrong time, I'm weak.
Yeah.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. To try to tame that tongue from saying I'm weak. I'm vulnerable. I have such a tendency. No. Say no. No.
Yes.
My God, The Lord is with you.
Oh, children in Jerusalem,
fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will fight for you.
Verse number 21.
And when he has exalted the people, he is going to sing unto the Lord. And they gave praise to the beauty of holiness as they went out before the Father. They said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to praise God, when they began to sing to God, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy.
Glory, 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 glory.
God will fight for us. God already showed up on the scene. But he said, now that I showed up, you got to show up. Tomorrow, you don't need to fight in battle, but you got to show up. I'm not going to show up. I'm a poor God. You ain't got to put your hand around. You ain't got to say too much. You don't have to fight the word. All you got to do is show up. All you got to do is be there. All you got to do is present yourself. Because God has already shown up to fight for you. So you better show up and I'll show up. Worship be to God. The right way last night, David showed up at the rock to break the giant. While others flee, while others retreat, David said, I humble you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we do join our world, and God is fighting for us. And that God fell, that giant fell, because God was fighting for David. And God will allow giants to come down as well. We don't keep each other now. We don't keep each other now. We don't keep presenting ourselves because God is fighting for us. We're going to get like we're losing. And it's going to be not going to win. And it's going to be never going to get out. And it's going to be not going to break through. But I'm still showing up. I'm going to break my way to the church. I'm going to break my way to the church. I'm going to be the church to get out. I'm going to be the church to get out. I'm going to call myself in with the things of God. I'm going to feel my will with the will of God. I'm going to take my body to the rest. I'm going to leave my body into the judgment. I'm going to leave God. He will not die for God. I'm going to take his breath. I'm going to show God. He will not take us for God. I'm going to take my body to show God. He will not take us for show God. He's going to fight for me, but I'm going to do my part. Number one, he said, show up. And number two, he said, stay still and see. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still. That means be rooted, be grounded. Far too many believers, not you, not me, but there are far too many believers who are not getting rooted. We're not getting anchored in the Lord. And God is saying, even as I preach tonight, even as I speak tonight, our roots are going deep. Our roots are going deep. You didn't have the stones, you wouldn't have the report. You didn't have the water, you wouldn't have the report. You didn't have the stones, you wouldn't have the report. Are you getting the stones right now? We need to know. He's taking roots. He's allowed. allow us to get anchored and rooted and grounded in the things of God. And he said, stand still. He didn't say, sit still. And he didn't say, Lord be God, be still. He said, stand still. You can remember that old King of Heaven story when he told the woman, she said, they come and get my son. I don't have nothing but love for you. He told her what? Go get a job. Get containment. Don't get out of you. Guess what she had to do her part? If you supply me the job, I'm going to keep going the order.
If you know and put it in application, you can see what the blood. What happened? Somehow I'm getting on the top of the back. Oh, glory to God. If you don't have a prayer, oh, it's not going to be the Lord of Christ Jesus. The Lord of Christ Jesus. He's going to be praying for you. He doesn't want to be strong for all of us. He doesn't want to be strong for all of us. He already told the landlord. He already told the Christian song. He already told them to give you the pressure. If you're not doing the wrong part, the way that you show up, when you stand still, you're about to see salvation. I'm going to pray. 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 I'm going to pray.
Against that sheep that Uriah the husband. In other words, David committed adultery.
trying to cover crimes by killing that sheep's husband in war. God is the prophet of David to convict him of the sin. God is praying for David because God is simply saying, through the prophet, you have time to be restored. You have a chance to be restored. But if you stick to your guns, if you realize that even as I show you who you are, how you messed up, I'm going to keep fighting for you, David. I'll always support you. But this you got to face, this you got to do. Psalm 51. Amen. I'm going to read it, and we're going to just take some ducks out of here, and we're going to go home. The spirit of offense messed so many people up. Have mercy upon me. This is David after his sin, after the prophet comes. Now he's repenting. He's sorry about what he did. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love and kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercy, blot my transgression. This is God now fighting. Because David is praying the right prayers. Wash me. He's asking God to wash him. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins that are before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That you are justified when you speak. And clear with your judgment. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity in my mother's womb, and she conceived me. Verse number 6. Behold, you desire the truth and the inward product, and the inward product. Make me to know wisdom. Purge me, and I will be clean. Wash me, I will be washed in snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face not from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Right here is what I want to get to, verse 10 and 11. Create me, and create me.
Create me.
One more time. Create in me.
Create
in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew in me a right spirit within me. Cast me now away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore me. Church of all, we got the Holy Spirit, we have time for restoration. As long as we got the Spirit of God and take the Spirit of God just when we messed up, God will always fight for us. As long as we be to God, and we don't walk with pride and arrogance and stubbornness and unbelief, God will be there to fight for us. Even in the flesh, David got the best of him, but now he got the victory after the result. Because God is still there. God gave the fight for David again. God gave the gift of David mercy and grace all over again. I'm here to say, and I will keep faith when you do your part, God will do his part. If you say it, if you set it up, if you visit it, repent, dust your mouth off, shake yourself loose, and keep it in rule. Don't walk in condemnation, don't walk in guilt, don't walk in shame, because God is praying for you. Oh, my God, I'm here to God. I'm a new believer. And God brought me. Now I'm a worthy brother. And I thank God that He's still working on me in the supernatural. And that anybody from me to God that we can live up, you ain't never so bad that He can't eat y'all. He can't eat y'all. He can't touch y'all. He can't eat y'all. That's the God that we serve. He's a God of second chance. Third and fourth, if you need. God will fight for you. All through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. And our Father in heaven is always watching over you and I. So, God, I thank you. We saw a battle in the flesh, we saw a battle in the army, we saw a battle with a parent trying to save a child. And in each case, we see you fighting for us. So God, help us. No matter how many dollars we face, no matter how intense the warfare is, remind us that the Holy Spirit and greater than he that's in us than he that is in the world. And if anybody need prayer, we're going to close out. To God be glory. We're going to close out. If there's anyone that needs prayer tonight, as you hit the barriers, my belief system is getting stronger. My spirit is getting stronger. But I still have some doubt. I know God's going to totally heal me. I know God's going to fix my family, fix my situation. I know God's going to do the impossible things in my life. Still got a lot of years to live. But Lord, help our unbelief tonight. Help us, Lord, to believe that you're fighting for us every day of our lives. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for being at this altar. Lord, I don't know the battle, but you know. I don't know the warfare, but you know. I don't know the struggle, God, but you know. So, Lord, they struggle in the name of Jesus. And they fight in the name of Jesus. And they battle in the name of Jesus. We believe by faith tonight as we heard his word that God, you are fighting for them and you are fighting with them. So in the name of Jesus, help us to do their part. Help us to believe. Help us to pray. Help us to hallelujah, God, to trust. So God, I believe right now that no matter how intense the world is, it doesn't matter the storm. It doesn't matter the level of the problem. God, they pray that they got the victory. They got to live on the other side. So the other side makes them the victim that they still need. But God, we give you, you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do. So God, help us to believe that we are. Help us to believe that we are in power. Help us to believe that you are defeated. So God, when the enemy lies to us, that we're still in it. When the enemy lies and says that there's such a pain and there's such a thing, there's such a storm that we're going to have in it. Help us to talk back and say, Lord, help our unbelief. So God, help us their minds tonight. Oh, give them peace. Glory. Give them peace in their minds. I don't know what they're thinking, God. You know. I don't know what they're battling. You know. I don't know what the enemy is saying to them, but you know. And then help us their minds. I'm praying to keep our their minds from negative thoughts, from thoughts of the devil. From defeating thoughts, from thoughts of inferiority, from thoughts of feeling inadequate, from thoughts of not being good enough, we find them for God. And God, give them the ability to change the picture. Give them the ability, Lord, to change the channel. Give them the ability to turn the station. Oh, Lord, we need God. Give them the ability, God, in the red light, in the strength. To move past every fence, every wall, every hurdle that's trying to remind them that they have not made progress. So by this new glory that they walk out of the children, this fresh anointing, this new found power, this fresh fire, God help them to defeat and win every battle in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together as you go back to your seat. I wish you to be able to ground the foundation in everything that you're facing, every battle that you need to be. It is healing, it is deliverance, it is financial, it is physical, it is mental, it is emotional. I believe my faith that battle is already won. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God.
Yeah.
The battle is not ours, church. It belongs to God. We're going to pick it up and go home. tossing in his leading basket. Those who want to sow, you can sow. If you want an envelope, you can go back to the back and retrieve one. But if you would just deposit something in the basket, to God be the glory. We thank God for your faithful gift in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. The battlefield. Thank you, Jesus. Every battle is won. Thank you, God, for fighting for your people. Thank you, God, for finishing what you started. Thank you for deliverance. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Father, we thank you for your faithful givers. Lord, those who need increase in income, those who need a financial miracle, those looking for jobs, God, open the door that nobody can shut.
Yes, God.
Give them favor in the marketplace. Give them a strategy, God, in the name of Jesus, how they can be blessed financially. So we need to need those looking to buy homes, those looking to pay tuition, those looking to purchase automobiles. God, make a way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go with peace and serve your God. Good night, everyone.
And